on Half Time. Mark Robinson.
Always good fun on a Monday afternoon when the great man joins us. Hello, Robbo.
G'day, Daniel.
How was your day yesterday? How was your weekend?
Weekend was pretty good.
Pretty good.
Watched a lot of footy.
Well, you got a chance to. Didn't have to IQ and then go back. They were sort of just all in sequence, six games.
It was really good.
It's easy.
Could actually do stuff in between games.
You're going to say something else there?
Just do some stuff. Really
do
quiet.
Do some stuff.
One glass of wine watching the game on Saturday. It was good.
Which game did you watch on Saturday?
North and Sydney.
Yes.
It was a good game. North would be...
I'd be pleased. Well, not pleased.
No,
but
not pleased, but...
Satisfied.
See, I don't know if they would be satisfied, Daniel, because they had an opportunity to win that game.
Oh, they did late, yes, with a couple of shots. They did.
So I don't think any team who works that hard to get in position against the highly ranked teams, who we know who they are, you get in a position where you can win and it comes down to skill errors. I don't think you can be satisfied with that.
But I think where they've been of recent weeks, putting up a performance like they did against Sydney, who are a 9-2 at the break, thank you very much for coming, the 20s, they're going very, very nicely, putting up a performance like that against a real quality outfit, which is the question mark of North Melbourne.
They did it the week before against second place West Coast, so they were up for the fight.
Yeah.
They were up for the fight, and they were up for the fight on Saturday night.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. And...
But that's
been
the question mark. They haven't been able to beat the teams above them or compete against them. More importantly, been able to compete against them.
Well, they certainly competed. We'll give them that.
So the last 2 weeks they've done that.
But I don't think Darren Crocker, the standing coach, is going to sit him down after the game and say, oh, bad luck, boys.
No, I don't think so. I
bad luck, boys.
But just from a perception point of view from outside of North Melbourne, outside the walls, as we say, Robbo, then that's what we've seen the last 2 weeks is what we've expected of them throughout the season.
That's very, very true comment. And I learnt last week, What we see and talk about outside the walls is not necessarily what they see and talk about inside the walls.
No, it's very different.
It is very, very different.
It was a good piece by you on Sunday too.
It was an interesting...
the Inner Sanctum, the match committee. Not the match committee, it was the opposition analysis, wasn't it?
Well, as we all try to do, we try and find a new angle into football. You know, we're doing well, everyone does really good features on players and what they're thinking. But I've been chasing this for a fair bit, and St Kilda rang me two and a half weeks previous. Had to deal with the Nick Riewoldt stuff and the Neil Danaher stuff leading up to it, so I had to put that off. I said, no, just after the Rui stuff. And I went in on Tuesday afternoon from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock. Sat down, I thought, righto, what am I going to hear and what am I going to learn? And within 5 minutes, Daniel, I thought to myself, geez, they're talking a language that...
Did you have to say, whoa, 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 stop there, whoa?
I wasn't allowed to say
Can
that.
Can you stop talking gobbledygook and tell me what's going on here?
At the end, and Alan Richardson, he's a really, really nice man, and everyone who knows Richo would say that, and Saints supporters know they've got a pretty good guy coaching there and developing their young players. And at the end, there was 11 people in there, and he goes, righto, have you got any questions?
To you? What'd you say?
Can you start
again, please? I missed the first hour and a half.
I wanted to say, what's an inside slider? And I said, but myself and David King have been talking about spitters a couple of weeks ago.
Spitters, yeah.
Spitters as a role. So that didn't take me by surprise when they spoke about that. And the roundup player, I'd not heard that before. And across the nose to describe handballing.
I hadn't heard across the nose. That term.
I had not heard that term for a handball. But
makes sense when you think about it.
The footy's still the same.
It's a terminology.
You've got the
changed.
Ball. They've got the ball. We've got the ball. Or the ball's in dispute. And what happens is they design plays and they define strategies how to restrict the opposition when they've got the ball. How to win the ball. I knew this already, Daniel, but the amount of work that goes into stoppages was phenomenal.
That's pretty important. Score source.
Yes, they would have spent 25 minutes. The best thing about it, they had footage down the ground, replayed, played again. It was just, you sort of, when you've got IQ, and you've got IQ at home on Foxtel, I often stop the game and say, right, who was on him? Where did he come from?
Yep.
And it's one of the... As the footy people get more educated, it's no longer, you know, just about kicks, marks and goals. It isn't. It can't be. There's so much more that goes into it. And what I really liked about St Kilda allowing me to do that is, A, me, selfishly, just loved it. Just loved it, Daniel. I just cannot begin to tell you how much I loved the hour.
I sort of get the excitement level.
Good. And what our role sometimes in the media is to help educate people as well.
Yep.
You know, that's all. And that's what it was. And, yeah, it was really, really interesting. I wrote it Friday night. And I wrote it really late Friday night. I started about 10 o'clock and finished about 3 in the morning.
Right.
And I put the tape recorder on to tape the meeting. And I was so excited about the access. I actually, in my first draft, I was putting in stuff that they didn't want to.
Everything that
they didn't want to put in, how they were going to play.
Because they were talking about obviously the Melbourne game, which was yesterday.
Yeah, which is the day before, which I'd seen and been at, and it was just so fascinating to see. I mean, there's a discussion about Adam Oxley and the use of Daniel Cross.
Yep.
There was discussion about how they were going to play Melbourne. And I put all that in, and I sent it off to St Kilda just before I went to crunch time on Saturday morning. And I got the emails doing crunch time. I got this text message saying, "Oh, the coaches aren't happy. Well, Richo's not happy." I said, "Okay, I'll fix it." So I had to actually cut out. I'll try and make sense. 35, 40 centimetres. I probably had to cut out 20 paragraphs, and there was a lot in there
of
anyway
detail.
Of detail and quotes.
Yeah. Well, that's fair enough.
Danny Sexton ran the show, ran the meeting.
Yep.
Fantastic. Well, I thought a fantastic level of understanding of how the game is played. And it was good because they had footage of the doggies in Melbourne from, what, 5 weeks ago?
Yeah, right.
They talked about the Port Adelaide game against Melbourne, you know, 2 weeks ago. And it was brilliant. So what I had to do was cut it out and I had to replace it with, well, that information's not...
Not for publication. At this time.
And at the end, toing and froing, they gave it the tick, and in the paper it went. The fascinating bit, Joel, this last thing I'll say on it, the fascinating bit was the conversation between Adam Kingsley, the midfield coach, and Danny Sexton, the football operation. Oh, well, I don't know what it is, Danny, I can't remember. Big Turtle.
He had a title.
Big title.
It's a nice title.
Big title, yeah, nice title.
Very important title.
In charge of football, how's that? And they were talking, and their language, I just couldn't. It was like, wow, yeah. Who's did Port run the fifth and sixth? No. Their forwards played straight, and then they had him coming up for the roundup. And when Crossy went to side bottom the week before, then they went hard. Then they dropped the tag. And then Crossy went high, and then just took the sixth. It was just bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
And I called it speaking in tongues, which is a kind of religious thing.
Well, footy is a religion, you know that.
That's why I put it in. Footy is a religion.
You're good at this game.
So when I was at, you know, the game, I was watching everything because I knew who their spitter was. I had to take that out.
Yep.
I said Melbourne used this player as a spitter. Right, so when he goes into the centre square bounce, make sure all the players know he's the spitter. So I had all this, I had it all in.
So just for that, and I think that's a good term. And just for those that may not have read, and I'm sure most people would have because it's the highest selling paper in the country, and superfooty.com.au is very important. What is a spitter?
Well, it's used in a couple of ways, but what it is, well, they were going to use. Can I say this?
Well, the game's been played.
Right, I can say it. When Jeff Garlick goes into the midfield for a centre square bounce, he's the spitter. So what will happen then? They'll bring another midfield straight in.
Yep.
And Jeff will just drift away.
Buzz around, drift forward.
Drift away. And then for that moment, might be 10 seconds, 20 seconds, we get the clearance. Jeffy's going to be by himself. So what it is, it's really interesting because I asked Bob Murphy about it last year.
Yep.
And he said, he was talking about playing on Jack Gunston for Hawthorn. He goes, oh, it's a nightmare. I said, why? Because, you know, I was thinking he was going to talk about his ability in the air, his ability to run.
Yep.
He's got a big tank, ground skills. Now Bobby was saying, no. He runs to the stoppage, and just before he gets to the stoppage, he just stops and does a U-turn and runs back. And it got him out. He was like 5 metres behind him going out. And then he goes, then sometimes against Hawthorn, when you run with Jack Gunston to the stoppage, as soon as he gets there, a midfielder just takes off to the forward line. So we're talking about...
And inside then, slider role.
Inside slider. And then I was talking to a St Kilda player at the launch of Nick Riewoldt's, Matty Riewoldt's vision on Wednesday. And Lee Montagne goes, oh, sometimes Hawthorn have three spinners at the one contest. I said, God almighty, how do you organise that? And he said, this is the problem when you got youth. He said, then we come out and we try and teach them. And that's why you see so many people directing and
signals, yeah.
Pointing, do that. He's going to come in here. He's going to come in here. How many times have I said, no, take that back. You've heard me say, why don't people get in the face of the organisers? Like Jared McVeigh, Lee Montagne, Luke Hodge.
Yep.
Get in their faces so they don't have the time.
The concentration to
organise stoppages. So that's what I learned, a lot of stoppage work. It was really, really good.
Tell me, just last one on this before we move on to the games on the weekend, because I think it's really an important discussion about the way footy's played and the way the analysis is had in between by the clubs. Were they more worried about how they could exploit them or how St Kilda could exploit Melbourne or how Melbourne were going to exploit St Kilda?
No, in the opposition, that was mainly what Melbourne did. And they had stats to show that when they lost, they had this many turnovers. When they win, they have this many long kicks and all that sort of stuff. So I had to leave all that out.
Yep.
But one of their golden rules, their number one rule with Melbourne was midfield turnovers. So let's get after them.
Yep.
Get the ball, move it quick. But they wouldn't let me put that in. But that's probably what most clubs do anyway. But they really had a concentration level. And it was mentioned yesterday at three-quarter time they had 81 tackles, which is the most ever by St Kilda team at three-quarter time.
Okay.
So they went, and you would have noticed, they were really aggressive defensively. You know, they were all over them. You know, they were closing down the space when Melbourne had the ball in the back half, which St Kilda does well, but yesterday their intensity was fantastic. And Melbourne had great intensity as well, but that was their major style. And I was wondering, do they have different styles for different teams? Now, so they'll...
What's your question?
Sorry?
You could ask when Richard said, you got any questions?
Oh, well, I didn't know he was going to ask me. He didn't know he was going to ask me. But I did ask him, I did ask a couple of questions, but I did say, you know, Bomber Thompson and Brendan McCartney, they always had this belief that if there's one at the contest, we have two. If they got two, we get three. I said, is that still something that you harp onto the players? They said, oh, yeah. No, there's no doubt about that. It's like... They're the givens, tick, tick, tick. But this is now what we're going to concentrate on.
Yeah. So all that still applies.
Yeah.
These are the extra layers we've got to give them.
And at the end, I said to them, last question, you still allow them to play on instinct? And they said, oh, yeah, they've got to play on instinct. And I said, so they've got to do all of that, do this stuff, and at the same time, still play on your natural instinct. Tough game. Football.
Six games played through the first week of the AFL split round system. Two more of those to go. We've got Thursday night footy this week, which we're looking forward to. Adelaide and Hawthorn, of course, you'll catch it all on Melbourne's home of footy, 11:16.
S-E-N.
Michael's in St Kilda. Just wants to talk about that game yesterday. St Kilda and Melbourne, very dramatic. And I just saw the reaction from Alan Richardson on the Fox Sports highlights for the first time as that goal went through from Lee Montagne in the last couple of seconds. That was good to watch. G'day, Michael.
G'day, boys. Look, I've got a rumour, and also I just want to ask Robbo what he thinks about the great Nick Revolt, mate. How good is he, mate?
Oh, he's fantastic, Nick. I have been... How good is he?
Four goals yesterday. Unbelievable. And you know what? He could have had probably five or six. He was very creative, close to goal.
Yes.
Almost playing small forward at one stage there, Robbo.
He's a champion of the game.
Well, we know that. You and I know
and has
that.
Been,
Michael knows that.
And he's been a champion for a long, long time. His longevity at elite level... really, really is significant. You know, people might say other forwards are better footballers, are tougher than him. But at the moment, Nick's just been save Jonathan Brown brutality is a different toughness. Really sees him in and sees him out at the moment.
Yeah, he's very unique. He's one of the all-time greats.
And what's the rumor?
Yeah, we know the Rewalt bit. What's the rumor, Michael?
He's a guy down at. St Kilda, it's rolling well.
Sorry, we missed that. You have to go again. Oh,
he's gone. Gone. Rowan Walsh is the...
Rowan Walsh, is that what he said?
Yeah, he's the forwards coach.
Yeah. Is he the key, is he? Is that what Michael
no, I don't know what he said. All he said, Rowan Walsh, St
Carlton
Kilda.
Coach? Former Carlton great, of course.
Coach Casey? Coach Casey, then he went to the Saints, and he's the forward line coach.
He's looking pretty fit too. I saw him in the rooms yesterday.
Do you know him well?
No, I don't know him well. I know him, but not well.
A bit of a jokester. He was a bit. He was the sort of funny man. They were hanging shit on him.
Oh, were they?
There's always one. And it was Rowan Walsh because he coached Casey, and he really highly rated Max Gawn.
Yeah.
And Max had a reasonable game yesterday. Ran a bit of puff, but anyway, that game. You're on the bench.
Yeah.
You're on the bench. Jack Stevens, two critical possessions. One, the clearance, and B, the follow-up chase.
Well, the clearance was interesting in itself. I think we should talk about that because it was a very... When you're 4 points up with 40 seconds to go...
And it actually started before that, when they kicked the goal. How? They should have gone into operation defend.
Oh, yeah. I'm bypassing that for a second. I'm going straight to the stoppage, to the clearance. Very sexy hit from Maxi Gawn. He got, who did he get? Billy Long out of the way, might have been, or something. I'm not sure.
Probably would have been Billy.
And flicked it. It's gone the back flick over the head into space. Now, remembering the D's are 4 points up at this stage. This is a very close in front hip hit. That's where it should have been.
Hang on. Describe that better. He should have gone up and just touched it.
Dragged it straight down to his feet. Yep. That's what he should have done.
Not grab it.
He's gone the sexy hit over the back into space.
Yep.
What the hell's going on there?
And Jack Stevens was on Jack Viney, I think. Stevens pushed off Viney. Because what happened, the ball must have bounced a little bit. If we're looking for the TV screen, must have bounced a little bit towards the other wing. Because everyone shuffled over a bit.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Everyone shuffled over a bit.
Yep.
Gawn hit it back over his head.
What the hell was he doing?
Viney got sort of... Stephen pushed off Viney, and Viney went to ground. And that enabled Stevens just to run back, because it was such a paddock as everyone had moved.
Yep.
Ran back. Ran straight through, got the kick. Kicked it forward. Jack Loney took it on the bounce. Sure hands. Bang.
Good play, Jack.
Bang. No one's talking about that. If he fumbled that, game over. He didn't fumble it, though. Then he hit Stephen again. And then as soon as he kicked it, I thought to myself, who is on Lee Montagna? How did he get so clear? Now, Max Gawn actually followed Montagna in. Mm. So you're going back to the videotape.
Back to the videotape.
And
who was on him?
It's a real shame, but it was Jimmy Tumpas.
Jimmy.
He had a fantastic game. Best game he's played for Melbourne.
It was, by a mile.
He was fantastic. Creative. He was what exactly Melbourne were hoping to get when they drafted him. And at the siren, Jimmy had his hands on his head. Because the ball went to the left. And what happened, Joey Montagna
just bolted,
bolted across. I reckon he was looking for the handball from Loney, right? And he gave it to Stephen. So he kept on running. And because it was sort of ball watching, Tumpa started ball watching. And he actually ended up when he kicked it in, Stevens, to the forward line.
Yep, to the pocket.
He was sort of guarding ground, probably an extra 8 metres out from where the ball bounced. The ball bounced to the right
a little bit. Handsome bounce for the
bang into Joey's hands. He kicks the goal. Tumpas didn't look at Montagna for the last 10 seconds. Didn't know where he was. Lost him.
Well, there's a couple of areas we've talked about. Well, much has been spoken about today already about the situation where Jeremy Howe's got that ball and what should have happened from that point in time onwards. At least from that point in time onwards, Terry Wallace was saying today with KB that there should have been countdowns coming for 5, 3, 4, 2 minutes to go, minute to go, 30 seconds to go. None of that seemed to be happening. From what we could see on the field anyway, the way the players responded. Or didn't respond.
They thought they've come out and said they thought that there was several more minutes.
I have no issue with the players, but how that group of managers, of coaches at Melbourne couldn't get that message by either screaming it from the bench as Jeremy Howe's kicking for goal, someone who's closest. If he kicks this, we're all back.
Yeah, 40 seconds.
That can happen.
Well, it should have happened.
Well, absolutely, it should have happened. It's cost him a game of footy.
It's going to be interesting to talk to Paul Roos tonight on 360. Because he was asked about it, what didn't you like in the last minute? He goes, oh, that's for the review. That's for the review. But now that everyone's done their own review, right? Well, most people have looked at it a couple of times, and I've tracked everyone.
Yeah.
Right, where are you? Jimmy, poor bugger. Because that's what will be played during the week in the review.
Another two blokes back there.
Yeah, exactly.
An extra pockets, pushing up to the wingers. The wingers start to fold back.
So Tompkins can ball watch.
That doesn't happen.
He can ball watch because other people will come in.
Loney doesn't get that ball. That ball from Stephen goes to a different spot.
Robbo's with us on Halftime, as he normally is on a Monday afternoon, 1 till 2, discussing the weekend's footy action. Tell me about the Pies yesterday, and in particular, from your likes and dislikes this morning, Robbo, Nathan Brown's performance on Jeremy Cameron.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, it starts everywhere, the pressure from Collingwood. The pressure of Collingwood in the last couple of weeks, last 3 weeks, has been fantastic. They've been able to overturn and wrest momentum off the opposition, Melbourne, Port Adelaide, and the Giants. And in that second quarter, the Giants, man, they looked devastating, absolutely devastating with their ball use going forward. But they just, they rise a bit. They just didn't, they should have been cleaner and taken the easier option rather than try to be too fancy.
Yep.
They probably gave up 4 goals, okay? And their 4 goals is a lot. But Collingwood settled again. And they led at half time. It was just a strong performance, and you know, those guys like Taylor Adams and Crisp and Marley Williams, who were fantastic, really really good. You know, Pendlebury was pretty good as usual. Swanee was okay as usual. Cloak was fantastic. It was the younger players who really had an influence yesterday, a really big influence. Broomhead was another one. But at the back, right at the back, there was a couple of danger people. One was McCarthy and one was Jeremy Cameron. And Nathan Brown took Cameron.
Yep.
He got a late consolation goal. So effectively, you kick one goal. One goal. And you'll take that 3 marks, 1 goal.
Absolutely.
On Jeremy Cameron. So Nathan Brown, he's playing really, really good footy. I did a blog before, and it was a really good question. Ben Reed and Levi Greenwood have to come into that team.
Who played both apparently very well yesterday in the Magpies VFL win.
And they say, who goes out? And you look at yesterday's team and you think, right, okay. Jesse White played a really solid game. Mm-hmm. So I just know where they're going to play Ben, probably back. But they've got Frost and
so
Brown.
So they wanted to play him.
Yeah, they've got Frost and Brown. They've got the runners. Yeah, you know, Langdon, Seedsman. Maybe a bit more of a wing Seedsman.
But Williams.
Mully Williams is starting. So it's going to be interesting to see. Because Tyson Goldsack was also back. Unless they move Tyson Goldsack forward and play Ben Reed back, remains to be seen. But right now, their list is healthy. They're 8-3 this time last year. As you know, they finished 3-8 and missed the finals. They're 8-3 this time. Got a huge challenge over the next month. And we'll find out how good they are. Buck said that last week.
Yeah.
And ticked the first one off.
Yep. Now, this was always going to be the month that we start to really assess the Magpies. Now, that doesn't mean they wouldn't make finals regardless outside of that, but this was the week we assessed them as a team and a contender of the month, sorry.
I got the month. If they share that 2-2, they can win another 4 after that. They could come home with 14 wins, and 14 wins put you round about 4th spot.
So Freo away next up after the bye. Hawthorn at the G and then Port Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval. Then West Coast after that at Etihad Stadium, probably... another big month for them coming up. But we will see. They get a chance to freshen up this week for the Magpies. What about the Bombers? Robbo? Where am I going?
Not good. They're going about as good as you pronouncing my name. They stink. They stink, mate.
Oh, you tell me I stink.
No, they do.
Is that what you're saying?
They are struggling enormously.
Can't kick goals.
No, their effort was not bad. But they were pushing forwards up to be at the contest. So when they got it, often the forwards were outnumbered. And West Coast, you know, on the break, they're deep through the midfield and they got good runners.
West Coast are very good.
Yep. So they did it pretty easy. They did it pretty easy. 50 points. But Essendon's effort was far better than it was the week before.
Yeah.
You know, the Carlos situation didn't work in the ruck. Didn't work.
It was a great point made today. Who was I listening to? It must have been KB or Terry or Gazelle talking about you go and recruit 2 ruckmen in the off-season, effectively, just in case things fall through with Tommy Bell Chambers and things haven't been fantastic with Tommy for the last little bit, so he misses out. And Giles and McKernan. McKernan's on the rookie list, so it's a bit more difficult for him. But Giles doesn't get a look in.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
So was he going like a bastard in the
I think he has to be. Although I thought he may have been too slow, not agile enough for the big Subiaco ground. I don't know. But, it's a major problem. They've got major problems. I mean, Cooney's last 3 weeks have been horrendous. Horrendous. His use of the ball on Saturday night was horrendous. Chappy
can't find it.
I mean, we had 16. He got a pretty. I understand he got ridden pretty hard by Hurd last week, and the coaches.
Yep.
To stand up, he got the ball early, but just butchered it. It's disappointing when you butcher the footy, Daniel. If you do it once, okay. Do it twice. Do it three times. Oh, come on, Cooney. Concentrate more. Chappie's tree trunk legs, mate, they're not moving that good.
Jonathan in Melbourne, well, where we are, of course, in the city somewhere, I assume, is on the line. I want to talk about Essendon. G'day, Jonathan.
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Great show. Mark, I'm a frustrated Essendon man, probably like yourself. I think the one problem that they have is every time they go out to play, they play one extra behind the ball, which does make our defence look all right. But the problem is every time the blokes get it, they look up and it's 2 versus 1 or 3 versus 2. So that's why they chip the ball sideways. Is there any danger with them going 6 on 6 in the forward line and giving ourselves a chance to kick a score?
I don't think they go all the time with one spare, but they do like having spares at the contest, which they did on the weekend. The problem for Essendon is Collier didn't have a great game, and he's been fantastic this year with his legs.
He's a barometer.
So he didn't have a really good game. So he didn't get an opportunity to run and carry through the midfield at all to make Essendon look dangerous. Now, Essendon through the midfield on Saturday had, you know, Goddard, Watson, Heppel. Cooney didn't do enough when didn't really run and carry. There's a couple more. Ben, help me.
Ben.
We'll call him Ben. Ben. They haven't got leg speed, so they can't spread. So when they spread...
Hallett?
Howlett. Sorry, yeah, Benny Howlett. Yeah, and they're pretty good players, but when you've got the ball and you need run and you've got to move it quick, you've got to have legs. And they just haven't got the legs, and they can't find forwards can't find separation. Joe Danner tried really hard. So they're in a spot. They're in a spot. Jonathan, get out of it. I don't know what they do. Work hard.
What are they? They're 4 and 7.
And they got Hawthorn next up.
And they got Hawthorn next up.
And they're going to be 4 and 8.
Going to be 4 and 8. It's just about curtains there, isn't it?
Yep.
Just about curtains for the Bombers.
Oh,
well,
I think it's curtains now.
Well, give them one more. Right, they beat Hawthorn last time, remember? This call's on the line, Robbo. They want to talk to you about the weekend's footy. We'll let them do that. 9429 1116. Barney's in Rye. G'day, Barney.
G'day, Harv. G'day, Robbo. I was just wondering, Robbo, if you've heard any mail, what's going on with Michael Hibbard? He has gone from the premier halfback flank with the most lethal left foot in AFL footy to a bloke who gets the ball now, panics, hand passes it, refuses to kick, and when he does kick, he turns it over. I said to my mate on Saturday night, I said, he's probably got the ball 20 times and Ralphie will probably give him a vote because of his stats, but his turnovers and everything like that were just... I can't believe what's happened to him.
I actually thought you were going to say to me, Michael Hibbert, what's he wearing on his feet? He slips over so much. And he does that a lot. I actually thought Hibbard's last 3 weeks have been better than his first five. I thought he was having a horrendous season. You know why we're just talking about it, Hibbert? Barney? Part of the problem is when players get the ball and if your team is pushing players right up the field, sometimes instead of going with your natural instinct and you say, right, I'll get this and kick it long, and then realise if I kick it long, there's going to be 2 West Coast Eagles players there, they stop and think, oh, I can't kick it there. And sometimes if you stop and think in AFL footy, I'm sure everyone can see this, if you stop and think in AFL footy, they're going to get you. Because they're coming. They're always chasing. No one is allowed to run without anyone chasing them or anyone moving the ball. You're always going to get pressure. Now, if you look up and there's no one there and you stop and think and you look left, you look right, you're dead. And then you hurry a kick. And I reckon a lot of people who have to hurry a kick stuff it up.
Thanks, Barney, for your call. We'll see what's going on with Michael Hibbert. We'll pay particular attention. We might even send a message out to Bombers and see if there's any underlying issues there. Shane's in South Melbourne. G'day, Shane.
How you going, boys?
Going well.
Did you guys see the Sydney North match on the weekend?
Sure, yes.
Quarter and a half.
Have you been able to get on the bottom of what Buddy Franklin was absolutely going off his chops at to every coach on the Swans?
No, I didn't. I saw that. I know I didn't.
Well, what are we referring to? I missed this, Robert.
It was sort of a strange sort of night. It was niggling between him and Scott Thompson for a lot of the night.
Yes.
Which you expected.
Which you expect.
And then at one stage, Buddy came off the ground and was not screaming, but pretty robust discussion with people on the bench. And that was not explained. I just thought, oh, well, one of those things that happened. And Buddy got out there and does what Buddy does.
It's pretty important. Late.
Yeah, I can't help you. Can't help you there, Shane.
No clearer, Shane. Sorry about that. Well, somebody will know something about that. I'm sure Brenton is in Willis Hill. G'day, Brenton.
Thanks. Look, Robbo, just a quick question on what we were talking about before. What you were talking about before with actual foot or with actual pace. Do you reckon it also comes down to ball movement and how slow they're moving the ball? Like, back in the golden years of Geelong, like, they weren't really extremely quick apart from maybe Wachinski or whatever. They just move the ball so quickly that they look quick. At the moment, we're just moving the ball so slowly, you're going to look slow no matter what you're doing, I reckon.
Yeah, that can help. But, I mean, sometimes...
It's a system issue as well. Yeah. There's a whole confidence issue, system issue. There's a whole lot of issues that go with that.
I've seen Essendon play well with a slow team and when they move the ball quick. But when you move the ball quick in a slow team, you have to have everyone aware of the situation and aware of the game unfolding. So sometimes you got to start running when you might be third or fourth player in line to get the ball, Daniel.
Yes.
And when that happens, you've got to be super, super confident.
Yes, that you retain possession. And then
if they keep the ball, if we don't keep the ball, the opposition gets it and kicks your man who's 30 metres by himself. So sometimes when people talk about losing confidence as a player, I can actually feel that they lose confidence as a team because they just don't. Sorry, mate, I love you, but I just haven't got faith at the moment. Mm. So they stay back. The guy who's got the ball, he hesitates. He hasn't got the support there because everyone's sort of hesitating. You can't take away a lot from West Coast. They've got a very, very good attacking system. They really have.
Well, that's like Fremantle. Fremantle are not. We went through this last week on Pure Footy with King and Luffy. Their transition speed is nowhere near top four, I don't think, from what Luffy was saying, if I remember rightly. But they're so effective.
Yep.
So effective. They don't hit the scoreboard as often as, say, Hawthorn or West Coast have so far this year, but they've got a really effective system, and their attacking mechanism is built on the back of the defensive mechanism and vice versa. So they're always in concert with each other, and they're able to be really effective with their ball use. It doesn't have to be quick, and I've interviewed a couple of players in the last 3 weeks saying we're going too fast. Because they've pushed their numbers back to try and squeeze the ground, try and give them some cover, some outlet, bailouts from deep inside their defensive 50. And if they get clean possession and they try and go too fast, there's nothing there apart from opposition players. So you can actually go too fast sometimes. So you've got to have mechanisms in place. This is what I was saying before about systems. And it just doesn't seem that the Bombers have nailed their systems.
No, it doesn't seem that. And you look at Richmond at the moment, just talking about that going too fast. Damien Hardwick, I think, spoke about that on Friday night in the coaches' hour on ASEAN. I'm telling you, mate, it's a brilliant hour. Absolutely brilliant. And Richmond have been able to play tempo footy. Don't have to always go flat knacker.
Yeah.
Essendon seem to be under siege when they've got the ball. That's what it is, under siege. They're not moving the ball freely at all.
Hey, Robbos, Corey Enright playing game number 300 this week. Yep. Is he getting any love on the newspaper this week?
I think, of course he will. Maybe the best halfback, Bruce Steele, Guy McKenna, Francis Burt. Corey Enright puts up a fair case to be the greatest halfback ever.
They were sort of saying he was slowing down, but not from what I saw on Friday night. He was awesome. I look forward to hearing about it tonight.
You will. See you later, Daniel.